Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday, absolutely loaded. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. An hour from now, our Herd hierarchy and Peter King. About 35 minutes from now, Snoop Dogg, who may cancel after he hears what I have to say about the Steelers. Joy Taylor, he loves the Steelers. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm good. So you're not very high on the Steelers?
Now, they won by 24 last night, and let's start there. Generally in the NFL, you win 27-3, and my takeaway is, wow, Monday Night Football, fantastic. But it is the Bengals. You were at home. And frankly, in a conference that has Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, that's not good enough. I watched them last night. I've never been more unimpressed with a Steeler 24-point win. The box score says, what a nice night passing. 27 of 31, 8.4 yards of completion, 260 yards. The box score says, nice night passing. My eyes say, safe night passing. The two running backs had 16 catches combined. Those are safe passes and almost 150 yards. There's a term that parents should avoid. It's called helicopter parenting. You don't want to do this as a parent, that you hover over your kids and that you don't let them make mistakes and you don't let them have opinions and you helicopter your kids. And what happens is your kids are not self-reliant. They become needy. They can't do things on their own. It hurts kids as they age. Don't helicopter parent. That was helicopter coaching last night. They didn't trust Mason Rudolph. They didn't trust him. This kid threw 1,400 passes in college. He was a three-year starter. He then comes into the NFL and sits behind Big Ben. And that's your game plan at home against Cincinnati? No catches for James Washington, a deep threat? Three catches for Juju Smith-Schuster? Those are very talented wide receivers. Like, I'm sorry, but the first half, Mason Rudolph threw for 132 yards. 111 were after the catch. So don't credit the quarterback when the slot receiver, the dump off, the running back's taking the catch and doing all the work. I mean, when you watch Houston with Deshaun Watson, they let him sling it. Mahomes, Andy Reid, first-year starter, let him sling it. Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, let him sling it. Arizona right now for Kyler Murray. That kid started 1 year in college. Even Lamar Jackson this year so far, let him sling it. That was helicopter parenting. That was a generic brand of the Steelers. That was, what was that, Safeway Select, when you go into grocery stores and they have like their generic version? I mean, that's what that was last night. And I don't care if they won 27-23. You're not getting out of the AFC with Belichick, Brady, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson with that. I mean, after that first long touchdown he threw, did you see the offensive line for the Steelers come over to and congratulate him? That looked like a team that was overjoyed he could throw the ball down the field. That wasn't just congratulations. That was, oh, my God, he did it. He threw the ball down the field. Mike Tomlin apparently liked it more than I did. Here's what the coach, always good at the mic, said after the game.
Man, it feels really good to handle our business, and we did so tonight. Really just with outstanding effort in all three phases. You know, it needs to be a springboard for us as we move forward. Of everyone, can't say enough about Mason. We gave him a game ball in there for his first start and win. I thought that was appropriate.
All right, the guy that got the game ball, here's the passing chart for the Steelers last night. There's one ball thrown truly downfield completed. You're going to beat Russell Wilson with that? Patrick Mahomes with that? Tom Brady with that? Aaron Rodgers with that? Carson Wentz with that? There's no way. I mean, I teams tell you what they think about their quarterbacks by the game plan. Remember when Minnesota won week one and Kirk Cousins threw 10 times? And I said, they had all offseason. That's what they think of Kirk Cousins. How's the Kirk Cousins thing developed in the last couple of weeks? How's it developed? Last year when you watched the Bears with Trubisky, a lot of smoke and mirrors and deception because they just didn't trust him to go back and throw the football. Arizona trusts Kyler Murray. I mean, that's what Cleveland maybe over-trusted Baker Mayfield. I watched the Jets with Sam Darnold last night. They trust last year. They trusted him. But I don't think you can win big in the NFL, even winning at home over Cincinnati with that game plan. That's helicopter parenting. I mean, listen, this kid's a three-year starter, sat behind Ben. I mean, Patrick Mahomes started for 2 years, sat behind Alex Smith, and the first game with Andy Reid, they're throwing the ball over the field. I feel this morning Pittsburgh out of playoff contention. No way. You're telling me that's going to work against the Browns defense? That defensive front for the Browns, that's going to work. No way. And you think they can go toe-to-toe offensively with Lamar Jackson and all those weapons in Baltimore? Absolutely no way. Congrats on the win. Season over. I'm seriously. I know. It's amazing, right? 24-point win. I'm like, no, it's over. Because the coaching staff tell me what they think of Mason Rudolph. So Dallas lost this weekend. Who are we going to blame? Well, Dak, of course. I'll get to that in a second. But now it's Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator. Jerry Jones is on Dallas radio this morning. He's putting a little pressure on Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator. It's his fault.
Hottest seat, the one that is more likely to have the most criticism is the offensive coordinator in the NFL. And when it doesn't work and you don't get to win, then get ready. They're going to be coming for you as a coordinator. So Kellen knows this. His head coach knows it. I know it. And you're supposed to make adjustments when you don't get it done.
Oh, that's kind of a supposed to make adjustments, Kellen Moore. So we're going to blame Kellen Moore. And, of course, everybody this morning, I heard it all day yesterday on radio when I drove around doing, errands. Oh, it's Dak's fault. By the way, Drew Brees, last four games for New Orleans last year, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. That's with Michael Thomas. That's with Alvin Kamara. That's with Mark Ingram. That's with a top 10 offensive line. That's with Sean Payton. You didn't bail on him. By the way, Aaron Rodgers last year averaged a touchdown and a half pass a game. You didn't bail on him. Cam Newton's lost 8 straight starts. Nobody bailed on him. But we're bailing on Dak because he went to the loudest place in the league. Jason Witten and Zeke both fumbled, and they never do. They couldn't get any running space. The Saints got a rush with only 4 men, didn't even have to blitz. And, oh, by the way, Amari Cooper's excellent, but Marshawn Lattimore's the best corner in the NFL, in my opinion, when he wants to play. And Amari Cooper was not – he couldn't separate from me and the microphone. But go ahead and blame Dak. So here's the classic, and we do this in life, right? We blame the food for our weight problems. We always blame the wrong people. So we're blaming Dak this morning, and Jerry's taking a shot at Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator. Can I ask you a question? We know what great coaching looks like. Is anybody considered Jason Garrett's the issue? So I want to ask you something, and I wrote this down. I'm going to read this. I wrote this down this morning. You can see great coaching in football. We see Belichick against young quarterbacks every time he dominates them. We see Doug Peterson's coaching with Nick Foles wins a Super Bowl. We see Andy Reid's brilliance with every quarterback. We see Matt Nagy in all those smoke and mirror plays that got Trubisky to win a division. We saw Sean McVay save Jared Goff's career. We've seen Kyle Shanahan elevate Matt Schaub to a Pro Bowler and Matt Ryan to an MVP. And we've seen Sean Payton through the years be utterly brilliant with his schemes. 9 years with Jason Garrett. Tell me the game you felt he made a difference. You want to blame Dak? You want to blame Kellen Moore? Last year, with all of Dallas's weapons, they went to Indianapolis and were shut out 23-0. That's embarrassing. Did you watch the playoff game last year in Los Angeles? Where Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson bulldozed the Cowboys' defense. Football is the sport where you and I, just as consumers, Joy, John, Greg, me, you can watch football. This is harder in basketball. It's harder in baseball, where pitching seems to dominate. Or in the NBA, stars just take a game over. But in the NFL, you can watch coaching. You can see Andy Reid take Alex Smith up and Patrick Mahomes up and Matt Nagy and Kyle Shanahan and Belichick's defense. You can see great coaching. Give me the game with Jason Garrett. So Jerry can take a shot at Kellen Moore, and talk show hosts and fans can bail on Dak. Find it. 9 years, Jason Garrett. Do you believe Jason Garrett in the NFC is going to outmaneuver Pete Carroll? I don't. Sean Payton, Doug Peterson, Kyle Shanahan? I don't. And then if he did get up against Belichick or Andy Reid in that side of the football world? I don't. Like, you can blame all you want on this, but 9 years into the league, and if I said, what's Jason Garrett's, what's his brilliance? What define it? I always say this about Hall of Fame baseball players. If you can't explain a guy's career in a sentence, then he's a compiler. Third in doubles, fourth in triples, ninth in stolen bases. He just played forever, you know. Seventh in saves, you know. He just played forever. You have to be able to describe a Hall of Famer in a sentence. Go ahead and write a paragraph on Jason Garrett. To me, just a coach. But go ahead this morning. Blame Kellen Moore and take a shot at Dak. Go ahead.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There's a team in the NFL that is really, really good. Minnesota's got great everything. I love their defense. I love their head coach. I love their receivers. They may have the best receiving core in the NFL, probably do. Dalvin Cook, Kyle Rudolph. Offensive line's okay, but it's really a Super Bowl roster. They have a problem. Kirk Cousins is, and he's the nicest guy in the world. I did an event with him. He's great. This is the part of my job I hate. He's just not good enough. You're paying him $28 million large. They rolled the dice. They had Case Keenum and a much better multiple. They had to pay for Kirk Cousins. Thank God the Jets and Redskins did not. And now Minnesota is sort of trapped. They have at least 16 games next year, 12 this year. That's 28 games, and they're paying him $28 million a year. You don't have to be a math whiz. Listen, Adam Thielen called him out after the game, the loss to Chicago. Mike Zimmer sounds defeated, talking about him yesterday. Here's the head coach of the Vikings on Kirk Cousins.
Well, I think, you know, there's times you just got to pull the trigger and you just got to believe it. You know, you're going to make the throw. There was some times that he got the ball out really good. You know, the one behind Adam, just a little bit behind him, he got that ball out good. You know, there were some other ones that you know, we just got to keep working on it.
First of all, that division now is really good. Detroit's no easy one. Chicago's defense is amazing. Green Bay's defense. Kirk Cousins is a guy that struggles against elite defenses. Between Matt Patricia's coaching, Green Bay's acquisition of defenders, and Chicago's defense, Kirk Cousins is not winning this division. He's just simply not good enough, and I feel bad. I think the Vikings have to reboot. And by the way, rebooting is not nearly as painful as it was even 5 to 10 years ago. The Giants just rebooted. They're happy in New York. The Cowboys rebooted with Dak. He won 13 games as a rookie. Houston has rebooted. Baltimore rebooted with Joe Flacco and made the playoffs. I think we're going to have a lot more quarterbacks taken in this first round next year, and I think Minnesota is going to take a quarterback. They have to. They don't have any real needs. They have a Super Bowl roster, and they've got to get somebody who's got a big arm, can move around. Of the top four teams, if you were drafting today, the draft order, I think three of the first four teams would take a quarterback. Miami's going to take Tua from Alabama. I think the Bengals will take the opposite of Andy Dalton. Highly athletic, big gun, Justin Herbert of Oregon. John Elway right now would have a top four pick, and I think they would take Jacob Eason at Washington. Played at Georgia, now at Washington, 6'6", right into Elway's prototypical quarterback with a huge arm. He'll have a top five arm in the NFL day one. I think there's another 7-8 teams that have to consider taking a quarterback in the first round. Carolina, the Colts, Jacksonville, Chargers got to get on that eventually. Minnesota, Tampa, and Tennessee. Here's the good news. I even have a friend whose son plays high-end high school football. He had a personal coach at 11, 12 years old, 7-on-7 camps. Rebooting is not scary anymore. I'll give you a couple quarterbacks. Watch Saturday football. The quality of quarterback play on Saturdays is remarkable. There is a sophomore at Ohio State. He's a sophomore, Justin Fields. He is so developed. 6'4.5", 6'5", 225 can run and throw. Sophomores in college did not look like that 10 years ago. This kid is ready to play in the NFL very quickly. He can do it all. Size, strength, arm. He transferred out of a school into Ohio State. He's a sophomore. There's the kid at Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. Clever's thrown a lot of interceptions this year. Don't worry about it. I saw him play in high school live. He has an NFL whip as an arm. These kids are sophomores, okay? They're ready. You could draft them today early before they're allowed to be drafted, like Zion, LeBron. We've always known with NBA guys, 17 years old, you can see an NBA body. We always felt in college, you got to give that guy 3 years. He's got a red shirt. Those days are over. These kids are getting, I mean, I've watched college football this year. Justin Herbert at Oregon, Tua at Alabama, Jacob Eason at Washington. These guys are ready to play. Now, do they need more snaps? Yes. But physically, their poise, the sophistication at the college level, if you have to reboot at quarterback, go watch Saturday football. The quality of play is miles better than it used to be. And this is because at 10 and 11 and 12 years old, they have personal coaches. Quarterbacking now is an industry. People make a living on how many guys do I bring on this show? Jordan Palmer. That's what he does. He teaches young people the fundamentals of quarterback play. He's grabbing guys at 14, 15, 16, 17. So I think Minnesota's got a reboot. I think they got to reboot. It's just not working. I think the Giants just did. The Cowboys did 2 years, 3 years ago. I think Houston did. Everybody that's rebooted is happy. Tell me the team that rebooted that's not happy. They're all happy. The quarterbacks are better. They're younger. They're less beat up. They're more coachable. They don't have bad habits yet. And I think Minnesota is the classic example of it is time. It's time to go. It's not as scary and painful as you think it used to be even 5 to 10 years ago.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It's funny in the NFL. Like if you're 0-4, it feels like season over. If you're 4-0, it feels like everything's working. That's why, to me, the truth comes out mid to late October. You can see some things that are true. Certain bad teams have issues. Cincinnati's offensive line and Andy Dalton, they just cannot overcome. Then there's really good teams like Kansas City that have pretty weak back end of defense that they'll mostly overcome. But here's an interesting development. The Rams are 3-1, and you would feel pretty good about this. But I think they need to come to Jesus moment because there's a real issue with the Rams, and now they're writing about it and talking about it in Los Angeles. So general managers don't like to admit mistakes. So if a general manager hires a coach, he'll generally give him an extra year, right? I don't want to fire my guy. That means I'm wrong. If they draft a player, general managers will stay with a player longer they draft. I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. Les Snead's a very good general manager for the Rams. He rolled the dice and signed Todd Gurley a year early. Todd Gurley, as of now, can't play. He is not the same running back. And they're going up to Seattle on Thursday night. And Seattle played a very poor home game a couple of weeks ago. They will be stoked. And the Rams have issues. They are not, because they paid Gurley big money, and Brandon Cooks, they had to let go of a couple of offensive linemen. So Jared Goff's under more duress. They don't have a running game. The good news is they have good receivers. Goff is clearly capable of getting a team to a Super Bowl. He did last year. Sean McVay is super smart. Aaron Donald's the best defensive tackle in football. Wade Phillips is an excellent defensive coordinator. There's a lot of good news here. But there's an elephant in the room. They drafted a third-round running back. Is it time to just go to him? Now, Todd Gurley's already getting testy. He just blasted Thursday Night Football the other day. There's a piece of tape when Goff audibled out of a running back play to him. He's like, whatever, bro. Gurley is getting testy on this. Now, he's got his money, but I don't think you can give him the snaps. And Eric Mangini was on the show today kind of talking about what he sees, the problems with Gurley, the lack of running game. I mean, Gurley was a workhorse. He was Le'Veon Bell. It was like 300 touches. He's our second-best receiver. Here's Mangini yesterday.
people have seen your system for a couple of years and worked really hard to close that gap. One of the things we learned in New England is not only do you have to do what you did the previous year as good, you've got to do it better, and you've got to stay ahead of the posse because it's a really smart league that's also a copycat league. So if you have a weakness, you are going to get attacked with that weakness every single week until you prove you can overcome it.
So Belichick beats the Rams with a six-man front. Everybody's now copying. They can't get the running game off. They're asking Jared Goff to throw 68 times this weekend. And how do you say goodbye to a player when he's still going to be in the room? I think it's really hard. I think there's a real tense situation here where they drafted a running back. Gurley doesn't have the juice. The O-line's not as good. You can't ask Goff to throw 50 times. 68's absurd. You can't ask him to throw 50 times a game. 48's too many. So that's a 3-1 football team I think has big questions. The Rams having to play Seattle in Seattle on Thursday, that is a massive game for both teams.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
My kids absolutely do not care about my show, but my daughter will today because I got Snoop Dogg on. Yes, rapper,
hey,
singer,
girl,
songwriter, producer, media personality. Absolute pleasure, my friend, to have you on again.
Honor.
L.A.-based. I'm out here now. I want to ask you before we get into different topics. We were just talking during the break about your first song and your first musical break. But when did you know in Southern California, when you walked out of the house, your life was going to change? You were now, had gone from Calvin to Snoop Dogg and an American star.
When I was staying at my cousin's house in Pacoima, and G-Thang was out. And I had spent the night at her house because I didn't have nowhere to stay. And in the morning time, it was a show called The Box, where you would order videos, and the video just kept playing over and over, like about 100 times back to back. So then when it was time for me to leave, I walked outside, and it's like I had to sign autographs. It was the first time I had to sign autographs. Being in an apartment building in Pacoima with a bunch of gang members, walking outside signing autographs and being looked at completely different than just a regular guy. And it was like something I had to adjust to, and it was like you can't prepare for it, but when it happens, it's like you got to just catch up, and I had to catch up and get on point.
But you're still authentic. You still live. I mean, when I think of you, I just think of you. I do think of you as a guy that would go to a Laker game, probably have to have a bodyguard, but has it changed the way you have to act?
No, not the way I act, but I believe that was expected. You know, when you become a public figure, people expect certain things from you. You should act this way, you should be this way, or they think this is what you are. But, you know, I'm up close and personal with my people, so they know who I am and how I get down. So it ain't no secrets or no myths to me.
Yeah. So you have taken chances in your life. You are not what I would call conservative. You have rolled the dice on your career. So I watched the Steelers last night, and they are babysitting Mason Rudolph. Snoop, I know you love the Steelers, but you're not beating Patrick Mahomes with that helicopter parenting, are you?
We know that part, but, you know, we just one step at a time. We had to get a W because we was Owen Wilson, Jesse Owens, 0-1, 0-2, 0-3. We just had to get that O up out of us, and now we 1-3. Sorry about your Dolphins. Y'all still over there in O-Land, but we're going to be
all
right.
That's going to be that way for a while.
By the way, you have known Juju Smith-Schuster since he was a kid.
Yes.
And you're very close to him. Did you know, because at USC, a coach told me as a freshman, they said, I think he's the hardest working player to ever be a Trojan. When did you know this kid's playing on Sundays?
We had a game in Miami. I had an all-star team, and we went to Miami, and he wasn't even like the whole – he wasn't the star. He was one of the guys, but he wasn't the guy.
High school game?
No, Little League game, like seventh grade. So we fly to Miami, and Deion Sanders' team is playing before us, so we play after. So the game is going on, and then it's a couple of spectacular catches that Juju makes, a couple of defensive plays he makes. And by the end of the game, everybody like, Juju, Juju, Juju. And it's like he just took that moment, and he ran with it. And we seen that he was the type of player that thrives in the spotlight. He didn't shy away from it. He ran to it. He wasn't the guy, but he made himself the guy that day. And then from there on to high school, he started playing offense, defense.
Yeah.
He started being more involved in, like, taking control of his career. That's why when he got to USC, he was a hard worker.
Oh, he was an unbelievable college player. The university, he's held in a different regard than most college athletes.
Man, let me tell you, me and Todd Haley got a rocky relationship, right?
Right, right.
Because when he was the OC at the Steelers, I used to bash him every week. So I go to the Cleveland Browns facility to visit one of my friends, and he's there as the OC. And he gives me a little flack when he sees me, but then when he passes that, he says, Juju Smith was probably the best receiver I ever coached in my life. And this is out of Todd Haley's mouth. He like, that was a great kid to coach.
Yeah, he's a.
And I don't hear nothing but great things about
him. No, Juju's a great kid. He's a. And by the way, most of these college athletes, I deal with these kids, 99% of these guys are great kids.
Right.
And now they're going to get paid. California.
That's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, it's funny. The schools aren't. I always was concerned about the schools having to pay the kids. They don't. What California's saying is, we're going to move this rock and make the NCAA react to it. So a YouTube channel, a school doesn't have to pay for it. So a kid can make money on a YouTube channel. He can make money on a diss track.
He can make money on an endorsement deal.
That's right.
That's the real money.
What I was always concerned with Snoop is that the school, Oregon State, would have to pay him. Well, some of these athletic departments, they're not USC. They're not Alabama. They're not rolling in cash.
Right.
So I think this is good. I think Joy and I agree is once the school doesn't have to pay, California, you know, people think California's crazy, but California's been for the worker. That's why these big corporate lawyers don't want to come to California and get sued because California represents the athlete, the worker, like Lyft.
I have been sued before.
You have?
Yeah, because of the workers' composition or whatever that is. If you don't know the hours and what they like, they really for the athlete, they really for the worker, they're really for that.
That's what California is for.
It is.
All right, now we're going to have a disagreement here. I know you're a Laker guy.
Yeah.
But that roster is old.
That's what you think?
But Snoop,
is that what you think?
I think Kyle Kuzma's the only young legs.
Nah, Cook is young.
Yeah, but he's not a smaller player.
Don't matter. He's young. You just said you talking about age. We talking about age. He's young. And when does age have to do anything with basketball?
I think the Clippers have a more complete roster. Is it possible the Clippers take over Los Angeles?
Never. Even if they win two championships in a row, they'll never run LA.
Why?
Because they don't have it.
What do you mean?
They don't have
it. What do you mean it?
It's called it. Some people have it. Some people don't. They don't. No matter what they do. First of all, they playing in our house. They need to go get their own backyard first. You got to come to work every day and look at them banners up there, and you don't have none.
Get your
own living room. And they got money. The owner got money. Why don't he go to Inglewood, buy the property across the street from the football field, and they can have their little thing in Inglewood right over there with the Rams and the Chargers.
So as a Laker fan, do you look at the Clippers as a stepbrother?
I look at them as an adopted brother that we really didn't want. And my mama went and adopted them when we wasn't looking. Now, we got to share all our food with them, our clothes with them and everything, man.
Snoop.
When they going to move out?
Snoop. Oh, so, you know, it's Los Angeles is, for the rest of the world, they just see palm trees and, you know, people still out east think we're a bunch of hippies. But I just moved here 4 years ago. There is so much entertainment here.
It is.
It's incredible. Our colleges, our pro.
Right.
Now, you're an NFL fan. I always identify you with the Steelers.
Right.
How did the Rams land for you?
It's a hard one because being from California, you gotta, you know, ride with the system.
Right. Do you like McVay?
I love McVay. I'm not gonna lie. I love the team. I love the players. I love the coach. I love his spirit. I just feel like golf need to like take the training wheels off. Like I heard that the coach being is here for like 15 seconds. Like, get out my ear, man. Let me run this. Like, come on. This is the NFL. Like, is McVay running the offense or is he running the offense?
That's fair.
Is that true or not?
No, well, there's no question that McVay is in Goff's ear, whereas Peyton Manning basically ran the offense.
That's what I'm – who in Brady's ear?
Nobody's in
Brady. Okay, then. Who in Patrick Mahomes' ear? Don't look like nobody. He ain't listening.
So, no, I think it's a fair – I think what you're saying is a lot of people are saying this. Is this Goff or is this McVay? No, but I will say this. I think Goff has the tools. I think he's a more talented Matt Ryan. I don't think he's Mahomes. I don't think he's Wentz. He's not Deshaun Watson. If I said to you, Juju's probably your favorite player in the NFL right now.
Or John Ross.
Oh, Cincinnati. Both oh, from Long Beach Poly.
No, he played for my football league.
John Ross did?
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's the second fastest guy in the league to Tyreek Hill.
What?
First. I think he's second.
Who got the record at the combine?
Well, there was
John Ross, 4.22.
What did...
2-2.
What did Tyreek Hill have?
2-2. Bishop Desmond Tutu.
This is... Now, I got to ask you about your new show. NFL The Grind on Epics. We have about a minute and a half. What is it about?
It's me giving an experience with NFL players, having conversations on and off the field before the game, preparation, the things that they do to get ready for the game, off-field things that they do, nonprofit organizations, just getting a chance to know these athletes away from their helmet and seeing the great things that they do away from football.
You really are, you have helped so many people in your life. Like a lot of you see him as a successful entrepreneur. Through agents and people, you have elevated a lot of lives. Like you have changed a lot of lives. So this kind of feels like, to me, a show in which you can make players human.
Yes. Well, you can touch them and know that they are people. Because with a football uniform on, they just look like robots. Like, da, da, da. But when the game is over and you find out this guy has a family, he has initiatives in the community, he loves his grandmother, he loves to cook, he loves video games. He's just like me. He's regular.
Yeah.
He just plays football on Sundays.
By the way, you're giving Drip Bayless all this love.
Oh, Drip.
It wouldn't be terrible to have a little 15-second thing for our show someday. I'll give you a couple months to work on it. The Herd. Can you rhyme stuff with The Herd?
With The Herd? Have you heard the word? Snoop Dogg get off the curb, and I'm the early bird to get the whiz-erm and keep my hair in the piz-erm, and everything is everything.
How about that?
You see what I'm saying? Quick, fast, on the hurry.
That line. Was love right there.
Talk to him, Joy. Right? Tell him what it is.
One of the really good guys. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Man, it's an honor to be on the show. I love you guys. I love watching y'all. I'm thankful for being on the show. Thank y'all for having me. Anytime you want me, I'm here.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
I am down right now in the LA Rams. I think their coaching is too good. Their defensive coordinator, Aaron Donald, they have too many good components not to be a top 10 team. But Todd Gurley rushed 5 times for just 16 yards, and they've got a problem. They have no juice in their backfield. It's not that they lost to Tampa Bay. That's not the issue. They still scored 40 points. But I think teams have figured out some of the components of the offense, put more guys up front defensively. I do think they overpaid for Gurley a year early and Brandon Cooks. They had to lose a couple of good offensive linemen. It's a very good system with lots of nice parts. I like their GM. I like their head coach. I think Jared Goff is really talented. But they got no juice in that backfield, and Goff's still a young quarterback. And you look around this league, the young quarterbacks that win have rushing help. Rams at 10.
Number 9.
49ers will be on Monday Night Football. They're 3-0 and will host Cleveland. The real upgrade here is their defense is now taking the ball away. They're number 3 in total defense, and that was a huge liability when Kyle Shanahan took it over. And I also know that Shanahan's going to upgrade the offense. Do you know they run the ball 57% of the plays, highest in the NFL, and they don't have what you'd consider a star running back. They don't have a road-grading offensive line. So I get all the cleverness of Kyle Shanahan. I get some spectacular young perimeter talents. They run the ball. They take it away. Monday Night Football will tell me a lot, though, because the Browns' defensive front is all real, and San Francisco is going to have their hands full, but I'll put the Niners at 9.
Number 8.
Seahawks, they beat the Cardinals. Now, they were just clobbered at home by the Saints a couple of weeks ago, but it should be noted they outgained them 2-1. They're 2-0 on the road for the first time since they won a Super Bowl. And is Russell Wilson right now, after Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL? A 7th consecutive road start with 110-plus passer rating. That is unheard of, folks. That is unheard of. And Doug Baldwin left, and they don't have a great offensive line. And so I think you have a combination of the best defensive coach after Belichick in the league, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson playing in a completely elevated league. By the way, Russell's one of 3 quarterbacks without a pick this season. And you consider how he moves around and the cliff he plays on, really impressive. Seattle hosting the Rams, I have him at 8.
number 7.
I don't move the Buffalo Bills down at all. I think they're real. I think they're, listen, they're second in total defense. Tom Brady had one of his worst games as a pro. The Patriots couldn't throw on him. The Patriots couldn't run on him. Thank God New England got a special teams touchdown. He held the Patriots to 224 yards. And it's Tom was 18 of 39. Now, Tom's a precision thrower. Now, I do think there's some limitations offensively with Josh Allen. He can be wild. He can be a little inconsistent. He can be a little erratic. But they did run the football against New England. So the upgraded offensive line, I have the Bills at 7.
Number 6.
Green Bay Packers. Okay, it was a startling loss to Philadelphia. They could not stop the Eagles. And they didn't get a sack, and they led the NFL in sacks before the game. But what I see with them is Aaron Rodgers on script in the first half looks comfortable. I think they have an elite receiver in Devontae Adams, an elite running back in Aaron Jones. And I like Aaron, and I like their offensive line. Philadelphia was more desperate. And Philadelphia is really, really good. Don't take too much from the loss. I do think the concern for me with Green Bay is second half offense, the production has been down. They're very good on script with a rookie head coach. They've not been great off script, and that may be a problem for the entire year. But I still put them at 6.
Number 5.
Dallas Cowboys. And this is where it gets really tight for me. Listen. When Zeke can't run, the offense can be limited. If you're waiting for Dak to be jaw-dropping, he's not. But he keeps you in games, doesn't make dumb throws. He's a great leader. Number 2 ranked third down offense in defense. So I will say this, even though their offense doesn't blow you away, it's not over the top. When it comes to third down and 3, only one team in the NFL gets the first down more than Dallas. And you may think Dak is limited, but it's nice to know that that offensive line, Zeke, Dak, and Amari, get first downs. That keeps other star quarterbacks like Carson Wentz off the field. That's why, by the way, they've had success against Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. They win the time of possession in those battles. Dallas at 5.
Number 4.
Philadelphia at 4. Now, they're getting healthier. I always say my final 4 teams are the teams I think at any given time are the Super Bowl teams. I think Philadelphia is special. I think they've won with all sorts of secondary injuries. DeSean Jackson, they didn't have a deep threat, went on the road in Green Bay and won. There's no getting around their issue. Their secondary right now is a mess. But I think a lot of that is just injuries. I don't think their secondary is going to be great at any point this year. But I think it'll be capable. Right now it is not. And I also think their pass rush, they don't have enough sacks for my taste right now. Fewest sacks in the NFL. I don't think that's a long-term issue. I do think they create pressure on the quarterbacks. Ask Aaron Rodgers.
Number 3.
Why don't I have my number 3 team right here? Oh, the New Orleans Saints. Well, here's what I'd say about the Saints. The only NFL team in the league that can go to a backup quarterback and win convincingly in Seattle and beat the Dallas Cowboys. That sums it up. That tells you you have good line play. You have weapons offensively. Would Seattle win if Russell Wilson didn't play? Would the Cowboys win without Dak? Would New England win without Brady? The reason I've got them at 3 isn't because they beat Dallas. They're winning with a backup, and they're beating good teams, Dallas and Seattle. Seattle on the road with a backup. I think it tells you the depth on their line play. I think it tells you that, to me, they have the best. Marshawn Lattimore is the best pure corner in the game. Alvin Kamara is one of the top 3 backs. Michael Thomas may be the best possession receiver. And they have maybe the smartest coach along with Andy Reid offensively in the NFL.
Number 2.
New England Patriots. I think their defense is ridiculous. They haven't allowed a passing touchdown this year. They're number 1 in 6 off defensive categories. The reason I don't have them at number 1 is because I think right now they got a lot of wide receiver issues. I mean, Gronk retired. Chris Hogan left. The rookie, N'Keal Harry, is on IR. Edelman's bumped around a little bit. He's bruised. Josh Gordon's terrific, but I have questions. I mean, thank God for Philip Dorsett, who can play several different. He can go slot. He can go perimeter. I just don't think offensively they're dynamic enough right now to put it number 1.
Number 1.
I think Kansas City is. Now, they have an issue, too. I don't love the back end of their defense. And unless they make a trade, I don't think they're going to have a great secondary this year. but they've scored 25-plus points in 25 straight games. Now, that you say to yourself when you watch college football, 25 points. The NFL average score is 23-20. So to go 25 points for a year and a half straight is remarkable. Remember, they play in Kansas City. They play in bad weather. They play in hail. You know, November on, there's a lot of cold weather cities in the NFL that Kansas City plays in. And, I mean, 4-0, three straight seasons. Now, Andy Reid, it should be noted, is a very good September coach. Could we see them just a little trend down? I think it's possible. They're one or two injuries on defense away from real trouble. So I think when you look at the herd hierarchy, there are no teams without issues. Patriots receiving an offensive line, Kansas City secondary, but there you go, my herd hierarchy. I do not have Baltimore or Cleveland in it because, frankly, I don't think Baltimore's as bad as they looked, and I don't think Cleveland's as good as they looked. Sometimes teams play, and I just don't think it's a true indication of what we saw. I think Cleveland played with desperation. I think Baltimore came out really flat. I don't know what to make of Baltimore and Cleveland. I just don't know. I have to watch Cleveland go to San Francisco this week. Let me watch them. Can they put back-to-backs together like that? And let me watch Baltimore. I think they're going to rebound strongly against Pittsburgh.